Is this spike right there?
I need to put on my glasses. I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember that spike was there. That's my husband.
Oh, okay. Now, and how did you meet your husband?
Well, we both grew up in the same town of 5,000, and I knew who he was, but before I went to college, they had lived in Puyallup, Washington, and they moved back to Glendive. When he was in Puyallup, Washington, he had gotten himself a job selling papers, and he worked it up, and he sold Saturday Evening Post, and he got such a business of it that he had a number of boys working under him delivering papers, and he had quite a bit of money that he was making with all this he was doing. Then they moved back to Glendive, and he was 15, and he was very unhappy because there was no job for him. Could I have a Kleenex,
sure,
please? There was no job for him. There was no... The house they lived in Puyallup, was a big, big house. He had a whole almost attic to himself. The house they lived in Glendive was very small, and he didn't have much room to himself.
Is he an only child?
No, there were four of them. And
were his parents fairly affluent, or was it just...
His father was an engineer on the railroad, and when they moved, because there was no job on the railroad, they moved to Puyallup, Washington, where they ran a John F. Class thing, which was something that was popular during the Depression, and it was people had steam baths with mineral smelling stuff in them. I don't know if you've ever heard
uh-huh.
of that.
Uh-huh.
But they ran a place like that and were able to make a living, and they ran it out of that house. And it was a really big house. I've seen it. And he had everything he wanted there. Then the railroad job came back, and his father came back because he was an engineer on the railroad and probably made a lot more money and a better living. But they came back to this small house that they always had. And Bill was not happy. He had, I think he had a Model A that he'd gotten with money he had, but I think he got it after he went to Glendive. But anyway, he was very happy, and he ran away from home when he was 16 and joined the Marines, and he wasn't old enough to join the Marines. But his mother... tracked him down, I don't know. And she signed that he could join the Marines because she thought he'd be better off in the Marines than running away from home. So he was in the Marines.
So he really left his family because of the size of their home, or were there other issues and other things?
I think
going
it had to do with him having his business and his money.
So he was 15 years old out in Washington State, had a little business.
Yeah, made money. Had all these young men under him delivering papers, and had several routes that he took care of.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people knew him because he would started out with the post and going to all these businesses, and a lot of people knew him. And then he got to Glendive and nobody knew him, no kids at school knew him. And I can see why it would have been a bad time to uproot a young man. But then the war was declared, and he was in the Marines, and he was in Washington. He was in New York, near New York. And I forget the name of the place where he was. And he said they heard that Pearl Harbor had been bombed, and one of the guys said, "Who's Pearl Harbor?" Because they didn't know
right.
anything about what
right.
it was. And then
right.
he went to... Paris Island and became a Marine paratrooper, and then went to the South Pacific and was wounded.
How was he wounded?
He was shot in both legs.
Really?
One of them was a dum-dum bullet, which did a lot more damage. The other one just went through his leg. A dum-dum bullet is one... Bullets are pointed, if they file the end off in their flat, they land and spread and do more damage, and that one had been a dum-dum bullet.
How old was he when it happened?
I think he was maybe 17.
And he was shot by the Japanese?
Uh-huh.
And did he think he was going to die?
He shot one Japanese in a tree, and that bothered him for a long time.
How did it all happen? And
they landed, well, he was in other battles, but the one where he got shot, they landed on Bella La Vella, and they didn't use them as Marine paratroopers because of the jungles. And they used these, I think they were LST boats they had. They went up on the beach and the front went down and they could drive out the tanks and stuff. And they weren't expecting as much resistance as they got. And they were landed and they were supposed to be able to get them out right away, and they couldn't get them out right away. And the casualties were very high. Bill was shot and hurt a lot on the battlefield, and they were near a Japanese hospital, and they took a couple of tree branches and a blanket from the Japanese hospital and rolled up the sides of the blanket and made a stretcher out of it and carried him out on this stretcher. We still have the blanket. Mm-hmm. And they fixed his leg, but they fixed it with some kind of metal that was not the right kind you're supposed to use. And so he got gas gangrene in his leg, and he also had malaria, and he was really almost died.
When he was 17?
Yeah.
All this happened when he was 17?
Yeah, 17, 18, right in there. And then he had, I think it was 15 operations. He wrote a paper that says the time I spent plastered. And it was about being in plaster casts. And 1 foot, he had a shoe that was built up about that much because of his leg being shorter than the other one. The last surgery he had on that, well, maybe it wasn't the last one, but one of the surgeries he had on the leg to clear up the gas gangrene was they put maggots in and sewed them in, and the maggots ate the dead tissue. And he said it didn't, until he realized what they had done, it didn't bother him. And then he could imagine them walking around and eating on his flesh. Then they die when they eat all the dead. They don't eat live flesh.
Did he think, I mean, he was going to die, obviously, when he was first shot, both legs?
I don't know. He had a transfusion on the battlefield. It was given to him by a big Irish medical guy, and he just gave it to him from him to Bill. So he always kidded and said he was part Irish too. And he was in the hospitals for a long time. You asked me how I met him, and this is a long story.
No, that's fine. No, but you'd also...
And Mother helped him, of course, when he came home. And she sent him to the hospital at Fort Harrison in Helena, Montana, where he was recovering. And I was working in Helena, and she wrote and said, "Now, this young man from Glendive has been seriously hurt, and you need to go and give him some encouragement. Go see him at the hospital." Well, I wasn't very enthusiastic about that, but finally did. And then Dad ended up in the same veterans hospital, and so I was going there quite a bit. And then...
And how old was your husband when you met him?
He was older than I had graduated from college and gotten a job in Helena. And he had been through all this stuff in the war.
Were you the same age?
He was a gleam in his father's eye when I was born. About 9 months difference between us.
So he had some
serious
intense experiences. You were older than him, but he had had some experiences.
Yeah, he had. And it was it was troublesome. We lived in Milwaukee for a while. He went to Milwaukee School of Engineering, and the climate was not good for somebody with the kind of injuries that he had, so we moved to Arizona.
What kinds of experiences did he have with the climate there? That
he just hurt too much.
So you just picked up and went to Arizona?
Well, yeah, but we were in Milwaukee for quite a while, and one of his buddies from the Marine Corps lived there, and we hunted him up, and he and his wife became very good friends, and even after Wally died, Marion came and saw me, and we were very close. She called me her sis.
Did your husband suffer from, like, post-traumatic issues?
He wouldn't talk about it. Wally told me more about what happened with him than he did.
Did he ever have nightmares at night?
No, he didn't have nightmares or anything like that. He just wouldn't talk about it. The only thing he said once was, in the war they teach you to hate the enemy, but when you get out they don't teach you to not hate him anymore. And he did mention this one Japanese that was up in a tree that he shot, and he did not feel good about that, because he saw him and shot him. But that's enough of that. Let me find.
So you met him, you lived in Milwaukee for how many years?
Couple years, 2 or 3 years. Peggy was born there. And then we moved to Arizona, but Bill was very sick with one surgery he had there, and I told you about that one.
And these are Robin's daughters?
Yes. His mother and Tom and Kathy and Kathy's two boys. But it was quite a party. Everybody from church came, and a lot of people from out of town came. And it was a nice party.
Looks like it was.
We had a lot of people there. One of Dutch's friends came, and he was kind of amazed that Burton Barr was there, because he worked for the state and Burton Barr was in the legislature. But Dutch said, "Is that Burton Barr?" And I said, "Yeah." And I wasn't. I mean, he was impressed, because he said, "That's probably the most powerful man in the state." And I said, "Yeah, you know."
Yeah, I am.
But he came to Mother's party. He died long before she did.
Was your husband, what were his thoughts about your childhood? And was he intimidated when he met your mother?
I don't think so. Mother didn't intimidate people.
Did he have any impressions about your family being different than other families?
I don't think so. He just accepted us. Mother's veterans all liked her. And Dad and Bill got along real well. But Bill was an electrician, and so was Dad.
That's good. That's good.
So these spoons came from Mrs. Gilmore. I believe I told you something about Mrs. Gilmore earlier on. She was the one that lived on a ranch, and her first husband died from drinking lemon extract, and she had to bring him into town on the wagon. Then she was married to a man who was in the army and in Japan, and he brought her a lovely picture from Japan, which I have. It's uncut velvet. She had some lovely silver spoons. She collected these souvenir spoons. And my mother was the executrix or executor or whatever of her estate. And she had lost almost all of her money by the time she died and had a number of debts. And so her estate had to be settled and her debts paid before any of the people that she wanted could inherit anything. She had a niece in California who really didn't have much to do with her, but she wanted this niece to have her silver spoons, but they had to be sold because of the estate needing the money to pay her debts. So it was decided that each of the spoons would be costing $5. So mother wrote to the niece and asked her if she would like the spoons, that Mrs. Gilmore wanted her to have them, but she owed this money and they had to be sold, and did she want to buy them, and they would be $5 each. The niece wrote back and said no, she didn't believe she wanted to buy them. So the spoons were sold for the estate money, and Dad bought them for Mother, and Mother decided that Mrs. Gilmore had wanted this niece to have some of her spoons, so she decided to choose one very nice one and send to her, because she thought the niece ought to have one because Mrs. Gilmore wanted her to have the spoons. Well, when her niece saw the spoons, she immediately wrote back and wanted to buy the rest of them. And Dad said, don't you dare let her have the rest of them. She didn't care enough about her to want any of the spoons, and you bought her one and gave it to her. Just tell her they'd been sold. So that's how Mother got the spoons. They are souvenir spoons, and I think maybe we've added a couple to them since then, but most of these came from Mrs. Gilmore, and most of them are either sterling silver or plate. I think there's one that's copper. I'll describe them to you. This one is a Franklin D. Roosevelt spoon. There is a bust of his head on the end of the handle, and down the handle printed is his name, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Then on the base of the spoon, there is a picture called Social Security Act, which has a picture of older people sitting in front of a fireplace and being secure. It was made by William Rogers and Company, and on the back is a pattern that looks like it's a scale on the back of the top of the handle. This next one is from Honolulu. It has Honolulu on the part that you, the base of it where you drink, and on the handle going up there are leaves, and at the top of the handle there is a pineapple, which is quite quite raised. On the back there's a blank space opposite the raised allergies. On the back of the raised pineapple on the front of the spoon is another little spoon, and above that is a blank area which has the letter G on it. This is a sterling spoon, and it doesn't say who made it. That's very pretty.
Aren't they all sterling spoons?
I don't know.
They look like they're all sterling spoons.
This one is from, well, it's from Washington, but I don't know where the W, oh yeah, Washington. It's written on the stem, and at the end of the stem, there is on a wider place of the stem is an eagle. The stem is rather narrow, and on the spoon itself, there is a picture of the Capitol building. It is made by Moore and Leading, and on the and is sterling, and on the back of the place where the eagle is, on the top of the stem, is a blank space with a G on it, and it's surrounded by stars. This spoon is, it isn't a special souvenir spoon, and it has a narrow stem, and it's I'm not sure what the pattern is. It looks like some kind of round circles that could be fruit, probably fruit of some kind, on the wider part of the handle. And that pattern is, it's not solid. It has holes in it, and it has a similar pattern of some kind of fruit on the back also, but the pattern has holes. It's not solid. This spoon is from Montana, and it shows a miner. There's a stem, and across the stem, there's some flowers. It looks like a pear, and then going crossways as the handle gets wider, there's a sign that says Montana, and above that there is a man with a pickaxe who appears to be mining, and above that there's a wider part and the end of the handle that has a shovel and a pickaxe, or there's three tools that are crossed that are mining tools, and in the background is mountains, and the sun is shining, and on the base of the on the eating part of the spoon, it says never sweat mine, which is rather hysterical, and it's Butte, Montana, and there are pictures of, I believe it's a building, and it looks like some kind of smokestacks with smoke coming out of it, and there must be a mine underneath it. Butte, Montana was once called the city that's a mile high and a mile deep. On the back of the stem, it says Anaconda Mine on the wide part of the stem, and then going down the stem, it looks like a rope entwined with a pick and a shovel. I always got a kick out of the name of that mine. It looks like it's a copper spoon. It's not very beautiful. It's got the state capital of Arizona on it, and a copper is always been an important part of the Arizona economy. On the stem, it says on the narrow part, Arizona, going up and down, and then it looks like a Kachina doll, which is an Indian doll, and it's a worn place above that. It's hard to tell what it is, and on the back of it there's a flower that is probably one of the cactus flowers, and going down the stem there's a saguaro cactus, and also it says Japan, and there's some buildings. It's not as nice a spoon as the others, but it was probably what was available. It's not nice at all. Here is a spoon that comes from Bunker Hill Monument, 1775, and it has a picture of the monument on the spoon part. On the stem, it has, on the narrow part, just a kind of a pattern that looks like kind of dots going together, and it says Paul Revere as it goes up to the wider part of the stem, and on the end of it there is a picture of a man riding past a church, obviously Paul Revere. The back is smooth, and it has a G engraved on it. This next spoon says Cleveland O on the spoon part of it, and it says 1892, and it looks like a sort of a flag. There's stripes on it, kind of bunting going around and around the stem as it goes up, and it says, Garfield on the stem, and then above the stem as it gets wider, there's a picture of President Garfield with an eagle on the very top of that circular place above his head. In back of that, there is an initial on the back. It is not a G. It might be a G. It's hard to tell what it is. And there's an eagle at the very top of it, and there is the beginning of the stars and stripes, and then the stripes go on around the stem. It's made by Webb and Ballas. The next spoon has a plain eating part, and it says Old Man of the Mountains on it. And there's just kind of a pattern above that. There's some something growing, like ferns. It looks like ferns engraved on that, and then there's just rough, looks like part of a cliff that looks like there's a face on, in profile on it. And on the back it's plain. And there's a G on the top opposite the pattern on the stem. And it says Profile House on the back. The last one is one of my favorites. On the top of the stem there is an Indian, which is rather wide, and he is an Indian that has the feathered headdress on him, and there's a rifle that kind of goes through, looks like a piece of deer skin, and is poked into the deer skin, and then there's kind of a rope thing going around down till you get to the spoon part of it, and there's a little, just kind of a pattern that holds the rope. I believe the rope is supposed to represent a whip of some kind, because it looks like the handle of a whip right next to the spoon part. On the spoon part it says 49 on top, and it says Westward Ho on the bottom, and in the middle there's a covered wagon being pulled by an oxen, and somebody walking next to it, a dog walking next to it, and a man on horseback riding next to it. The back of the spoon is plain. The initials are GM, which probably means that she got this spoon after she was married to Mr. Marin. And it looks like Philly Curtis Company on the back. I really like that spoon.
That's my favorite. That was my favorite as well.
Mine too.
It's unbelievable. Thank you for sharing those. Do you know the woman who collected these spoons? Did she send off of these in catalogs? Did she travel around a lot? How did she acquire
these? I don't know where she got them, but she lived in... when I was 10, she was in her late 80s. And she had this adventuresome life, and I suppose she just picked them up whenever she could, because they were a collector's item at that time, and it was something you collected. And I suppose every time she got a chance to buy one, she did.
How did she know your mother?
Mother, we've known her for years. I mean, in a small town, Mother helped her get a pension when she got older and when she needed money, and Mother found a place for her to stay in Marsh, Montana, which is a small town out of Glendive, and she was able to live cheaply there until she died. And whenever she needed anything, Mother would help her. And so they were close. But when I was 10 years old, she wanted me to come and spend the night with her, and I went, and I spent about the evening until 9 o'clock and got homesick and went home. And that's when she told me how old she was. And she lived in a house that was on a corner, and the house was an old, this was before she lost money or didn't have enough money to keep it, but it was on a corner, and the corner wasn't just a right angle corner, it was very acute corner. And she had a fence that went around that was made out of wood. I don't mean wood, I mean stones. And it was quite a picturesque house. I think there was yellow on it somehow. I seem to remember it that way. But it was a large house, and it had this large yard and stood on this corner. And that's when I went to spend the night with her and got homesick. And I'm glad I have her spoons, and I'm glad the niece that didn't want them didn't get them.
And you have like a large number, like of each one?
No.
Like, so every single spoon is different.
Every single spoon is different. These are just some of them that I kept out because I was fond of them, and they were fun to use when people come. Instead of putting my silverware that matches out, I put one of these spoons out, and it's a conversation piece. It starts a conversation.
They're definitely unique, and each one is its own individual piece of artwork.
Yes, they are.
How many would you say that you have?
You know, I don't know. I had them in a spoon holder hanging in the kitchen, and finally decided that would be something that if anyone ever broke in, they would just take the whole spoon holder.
Right.
And I don't remember how many were in the spoon holder, but I took those out and put them in the safe. And I think some of these are my favorites.
These are great.
And I can't remember what the other ones are like, because I haven't gotten them out for a long time.
Thank you for sharing those.
41?
Yes.
Okay, it's 41. Sorry. My dear Mac and Catherine, was so glad to have your letter. It came Saturday before Mother's Day. Mac, dear, I'm so very sorry. You are still sick.
Do you know what she's referring to there?
No, I don't. I received a most interesting letter from Mary Lee. She said you had been very sick and she thought would be out soon. We had begun house cleaning. I was so tired, I just didn't dream you had been so ill. I thought of you and prayed God to lay his healing hand upon you, trying to help all I could in this big job. I just realized I was eating and sleeping. We are still at it. I have cleaned and brought the dishes in the house while Sarah painted on the kitchen woodwork. Yesterday I had a colored woman to help. I had saved $6.50 out of the Christmas money to get Lily, the colored woman, to help clean my room, and we had her yesterday. I remember Lily. She was one that came and cooked sometimes when they were having Thanksgiving dinner, and she made the most wonderful biscuits. But she also drank if she found a bottle of liquor anywhere, and her biscuits weren't as good as, I don't believe they were as good after she drank, or else they were better after she drank. I've kind of forgotten. But I remember Lily.
Did you ever talk to her? Spend time talking to her?
A little bit.
Yeah. Does she have a family or?
I don't know.
She older or was she a young woman?
She was not a fat woman. She was thin.
Was she young or old or?
You know, I don't remember, but I remember being there when I was, I think, in college, and she was brought in to make the dinner. To have her yesterday wash the woodwork and all the... some kind of pots and kettles. Iron pots and kettles. Plus today I had been busy until this afternoon. I just gave out. Could only cut the paper for us to paper tomatoes. Then I don't think we can finish, but hope to get in some kind of order. As Francis and a friend are coming Thursday to spend the day. It took so long to clean the dining room and Sarah's room. She papered her room, but cleaned the ceiling and wall of the dining room.
Where was Sarah's bedroom?
Thursday.
At that point in time?
I'm not sure.
Because the grandmother, your grandmother slept in the front bedroom near the parlor?
I think that grandmother slept in the middle bedroom.
Okay.
So Aunt Sarah must have slept in the front bedroom.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. Thursday, we were in there working when Josie called that she, Eileen and Doug would be up in a little while. My room and all the front in order, but delayed us for a day. Then Saturday at noon, Charles took me in for something to wash my hair for Mother's Day. I believe that's a name of who did her hair. She dolled my head up to look fine. So fine, a friend said, I noticed your hair in church and the lovely hat. Peggy sent me a beautiful hat and becoming. It is blue straw with feather colors of pink, then a blue flowers and a little tulle.
And this is Peggy from Seattle.
This is that I told you had a millinery shop. And then I was wondering, did she really have it? And now I'm sure I was right. This is Tom's wife. Everyone says it is the prettiest hat of the spring and summer. Charles looked so nice. Said he got so sleepy he could hardly keep awake. When we got home, Sydney and Virginia were here for dinner. The only one, the only ones Frank has had spells of thyroid trouble, and Francis put it off until Thursday. Oh, Frank has had spells of thyroid trouble, and Francis put it off until Thursday. I was running one sentence into the other. It makes sense. Rebecca called me. She and Pearlie talked a while, said Elsie was coming home for 2 weeks, and Emma Price had flown to Oklahoma and had a nice card from James. It came in 2 days by air. I told Sydney it was a pleasure to know we could fly to each other in 2 days. She laughed as if she thought it was too old. Ha ha. You would smile if you knew all that I have done with the money you all sent to me. I surely used it mathematically, and none of the Mother's Day bills. Well, indeed, I don't go to picture shows. I said, no, indeed, I am going to get 3 pounds of genuine fresh fish for supper and breakfast. Now, for the joke, after Emma got through with me, I was too tired to think and brought home looks like October. Something fresh forgot the fish until at supper. I think we have been cleaning house 5 weeks. Sunday after dinner. That sounds like more than cleaning house. It sounds like remodeling, repapering, and repainting. Sunday after dinner, Marion, Nanny, Sarah, Nancy, 2 children, and Just Ban, Gagan, Gatewood, Coley's son by line at the old Gatewood house. Nanny and Marion at Ms. Ida Stonewell's, Lizzie and Emma, Ben, Brother Alfred, May, Mary Robinson and 2 children was glad the dining room and everything in order. As for all, as the kitchen and the bathroom is all ready for the paint by this coming Sunday, we will be ready for you Western folks to drive in. The batteries had been dead in the radio since the Derby, so Charles and Sarah just put one in while I was in town and gave me a big surprise. Sydney and Virginia gave me I'm not sure about this. It could be roses and it looks like bloomers, but I don't think it's
roses in bloom. Is that what it says?
Bloom. It could be flowers. It's flowers. Are a doll. Now this must keep until the first Monday in June when it is my time to have my mission. Society, I believe. Mac, close your eyes and imagine the yard with more than 1 dozen large locust trees laden with long, white, fragrant blossoms. No one has ever seen them so full. For the past 2 weeks, we have been going to town on highway number 11. We drive out of our entrance onto it, just 3 minutes to the viaduct over the railroad on Bank Street. We will soon be a suburb of the town. I call it Kingston Dale suburb. Judson Henderson killed himself 2 weeks ago. Brother Alfred appointed to settle the estate. You remember he married somebody, Sid Hant's daughter, financial trouble. You will come home to find Carolyn Price grown so is past I first thought it was 16 and now it looks like something else, and Jean only 10 this November. Mamie is so large for her age, and Nancy too. All of them so capable. Vernon looks bad, is so thin and works so hard. Carol has been promoted and doing much better. I heard from all my loved ones except Robin. I just don't understand her. Rebecca and I both send her things and remember their birthdays, but never an answer. I wish so often to know if they are well. We are having a drought. Less rain than I ever knew in April and May. Yet the garden looks grand, peas and potatoes blooming and everything growing. The flowers never bloomed so profusely. The yard looks lovely. Mac, I know you are asleep. Much love to each of you, Mother. I think of Jerry and Mary Lee often, and so nice of them to be together. S joins in.
Sarah?
Yeah, Sarah, it just, she said S joins in love. Says you could hear. Says you could have a job.
Meaning she's busy working.
I guess.
And she's saying that she could have a job, like if she came back home, she's got a job.
I didn't read this part of the letter when it was supposed to be. So I'm starting strangely by now.
Okay.
So let him snooze. Read all this to him after he is rested. Charles takes some lambs to Lexington tomorrow to the cooperative sale. I do hope I can get a check, for I do need a spring coat. Just a light in expensive one and one or two other necessities. So much has to be put on the farm, I fear it won't. Make ends meet. I wish I could have seen Jerry in that pretty dress. I know she looked lovely. Mary Lee is a fine girl. In fact, I'm in love with all my grandchildren. I'm very fond of them, James and Emma. Emma Lee have lovely children. How I wish I could see them all. I long to see you and James sometimes. I don't allow myself to think of it long. Get up and walk in the yard full of full something and full blessings. My children, God has given to me. Then on the side, all the kin, we have lots of love. Mary, something thanks for something wonderful. I can't read this, that she's written around the edge.
Okay. Well, give me kind of the highlights. What did you, is there anything you learned, or is there anything that you felt in terms of the hats? And then you had, you know, some ideas about Robin, and that was...
Well, I had the feeling that Robin was more or less estranged from the family after she ran away and got married and then didn't communicate much with the family. And later on, I think she was communicating more.
It's interesting.
She did with Mother.
It's interesting. Well, this letter, you know, her mother's worried. She doesn't ever hear from her. And this is, was this 1944, 43? Is that 43?
41, I believe.
41.
Yeah.
And
it was
Robin,
May of 41.
And Robin was the sister. Was Robin the sister who wrote the letter when her father died?
I believe so.
And that was 1934.
So there was something there between all of them.
Okay.
You know, you don't think of those things.
What things?
You sort of like to forget things that are unpleasant in families.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of interesting to know, you know, the all the dynamics and.
Yeah.
The letter that she wrote, that Robin wrote, Francis and Sarah, is just stinging. Just stinging, burning letter.
That's too bad.
Yes. Yes.
And Robin was never, as she was sort of the rebel, I think. Oops.
Did you wake me up?
Accidentally.
What?
I just went back to check on you because we hadn't heard from you in a while.
Oh.
Just want to make sure you were alive.
And then we'll just talk.
Got sucked into the computer.
It's Kathy.
Oh.
Then we'll just talk. Peg's tooth is better. She just took a nap, though, because I think it's of the results of what she had with the tooth. We're having a wonderful time with Kelly. We acted like we'd known each other for years the minute we saw each other. And we've just been having a lovely time. And we've hiked up on Squaw Peak, and I walked quite a ways on a rough trail without having problems. The dog went. So we're okay. Well, it sounds like you need a huge batch with all those young people landing on you. Eight for dinner is a substantial amount. Okay, Katrina's boyfriend. So have you met him before? Okay. Oh, that's good. So you know him. A rally? Oh. That's terrible. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's hard. But it's nice that they're paying, bringing attention to it. That's a lot. Well, but it's raining. No, is she going to move to Walla Walla with Marie to help her with the wedding? That's nice. Oh, that's nice. And Katrina's all done with her exams. How did she do, did she think? Okay. 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 Well, I guess I better go because we've got to get back to work. I have been talking into the... I've been almost 10 hours, I think, haven't I?
It's been a long time.
I've been talking about 10 hours for the last 3 days. Well, if it's available, we're going to get a copy. She's going to put it on DVDs.
CD-ROM.
DVD-ROM, whatever CD-ROM. The things are. Those round things that you stick in the computer.
Tell her she can download it onto her iPod.
You can download them onto your iPod, whatever that means. Okay, and I've got to go. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So this does confirm some of my beliefs about James a little bit. I found a letter. Listen to this. I get this one letter from your grandmother, and in it is a letter from, is it Emmy Lee and JC?
Okay.
And it's dated February 17th, 1943.
Okay.
Your letter's in from January. I have to run to the bathroom.
Okay, and then I'll read those.
This is typed out, yeah, so this should be
pretty good. That'll be easier.
You could stop, like, you know, when she says JC, so, you know, just refer the audience who JC is.
I think.
James Clark, her husband.
Yeah, and she calls him JC.
Yeah, and just some of the things she talks about the Germans.
And this is Babe?
Yeah. Is that her name, Babe?
That's what we always call
her. She said, I'm at Emmy Lee here.
I presume that's Babe.
That's Babe, yeah. Yeah, so. Anyway, here's this. And
well, let me kind of glance at it so I can read it. Sometimes it's hard to read off the top of your head, but I'm doing as well as I could under the circumstances, I think.
This, you're doing fabulous. You're not doing well, you're doing fabulous. Peg, how are you? Are you doing okay? Thank you.
about to go, like something's gotten a little worse. I'm loving it.
Can I ask you a quick question? Would you tell me if this would be a problem? Can I do a quick, like, very light wash?
Sure.
Would you mind?
That won't be
just
a problem.
A couple, like a pair of pants and
just
a couple
stick
shirts,
everything you want to
quick.
In the washing machine.
Okay, and then I can just hang it up to dry.
You can stick it in the dryer.
Well, they're delicate, so I'll just hang them up.
Oh, but, well, whatever.
Okay. Thank you.
You know that anything I have, you can have. You don't have to ask.
Well, I appreciate you. Just take care of. I'll be right back. know what my mom does with all her expensive silver? She puts them in, like, you know, cheap bags, like, you know, from Kmart, you know, she discusses. So just in case, like, somebody ever breaks into her house, I don't know if that would work.
Okay.
I don't know if that would work or not. But she never had her silver and stuff, like, in formal silver box or anything, because I think she was always afraid somebody would take it. I don't know.
Well, I like it in the formal box because it has the anti-tarnish stuff in it.
Well, you know, it looks prettier in there, and it's, you know, better kept.
It's better kept. It doesn't get scratched up. Okay, I'll get it for you.
All right.
I'll be right there. I'm going to be hungry unless I do this.
Okay.
Lemonade.
Oh, isn't it refreshing?
Yeah.
I mean, do you drink lemonade very much?
Not much.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, this has been on the whole time.
Uh-oh.
That's okay. Let's stop it for a second.